I heard that you couldn't go to Chaitanya Math, but you went to Shiva Shangan and Advaita Bhavan, Advaita Acharya's house. Then you also couldn't go to Chatkazi Samadhi. I heard because you started late. And then I heard you went to Jagannath Temple. So, were you missing Lord Jagannath? Okay, so yesterday you visited the Mayapur compound, Chandradaya Mandir compound, and you saw different areas of Mayapur activities. You went to, did you go to Goshala? No? Half of your life is wasted. Goshala, they should have taken you to the Goshala. We have a beautiful Goshala here. And, well, I don't know now what to ask you. Okay, today I got two very important devotees from Mayapur. That side is Shubhekshana Prabhu. Shubhekshana Prabhu is the head of Mayapur Administrative Council. You're the chairman, right? Yeah, he is the chairman of Mayapur Administrative Council. So Mayapur is being managed by a group of devotees. It's called the Administrative Council. And he is chairing that body. Now, nice thing is that he grew up in Mayapur. He is from Mayapur Gurukul. Do you all know Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj? Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj actually started the Gurukul in Mayapur in the early 80s. And that Gurukul actually produced a lot of very, very capable devotees. And many devotees came from different parts of the world and they grew up in Mayapur in the Gurukul. And Shubhekshana Prabhu is one of those brilliant boys of Mayapur Gurukul. And actually we are handing the Mayapur management to these young devotees. And they're managing very nicely. That's why I thought that I would invite them so that you can get to know them and they can get to know you. And Brajavilas Prabhu is heading the TOVP project. Brajavilas Prabhu's background is a little different. He is an IIT graduate. What was your line of engineering?
Remote sensing.
Okay, remote sensing. Oh, that's a part of electronics? Yeah, okay. Yeah, his line was electronics and remote sensing was his specialty. He was in America. He was... did you get the citizenship of America? No, you didn't. He was in America. He was working. And you can well imagine, you know, the engineers, especially those who are in the IT side, how much money they make. They make a lot of money. In America, two branches make a lot, three actually. One is doctor, one is IT, and one is lawyer. So, anyway, So what did Brajavilas Prabhu do? He left that prosperous life in America and he became a Hare Krishna. He became a devotee. And then he came to Mayapur and he was actually assisting the Mayapur development, the temple of Vedic planetarium. This construction is going on since a long time. And Ambarish Prabhu needed a very reliable assistant. And he found Brajavilas Prabhu to help him, to assist him in that field. Incidentally, let me ask you, how many of you know Brajavilas Prabhu already? Yeah, I thought many more will know, because Brajavilas Prabhu is very famous all over the world. And you know what he does? He goes around the world collecting a lot of money for the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. And he doesn't think into when he goes out to collect. His report is not in thousands or hundred thousands. His reports are on millions. So, Brajavilas Prabhu is a very, very important young devotee in our movement. Especially in Mayapur, DOVP is relying a lot on him. And it is developing very nicely. Many a times in Mayapur, DOVP project faced a lot of difficulties. And those difficulties are mainly financial difficulties. And Brajavilas Prabhu is actually assisting in that area very nicely. And as a result of that, the construction of TOVP, Temple of Vedic Planetarium, is going on unhindered. It's going on very nicely. So I got these two devotees today so that we can hear from them. So I will request Subhakshana Prabhu to speak first. Okay.
Hello, sir. Om Jnana Tirandasya Jnanjana Shalokaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you very much for this very nice introduction and sharing your very Krishna conscious and nice mood with all of us. It's a great pleasure to be here with you, as always. So it is also very, very nice to see all the devotees here. It is indeed, we consider it to be a success when devotees come to Sri Dhammayapur. They congregate here and they engage in a serious and structured sadhu sangam. And this is one of the main reasons why Srila Prabhupada has established Sri Dhammayapur. This is one of the main reasons why Brajavilas Prabhu and TOVP team is working very, very hard to create even better facility here in Mayapur, so that as chanting and congregating and hearing can go on very, very nicely for existing devotees and for newcomers to Mayapur. So, as we all know, hearing Harikatha is a very, very powerful method of self-realization. In fact, one who does not engage in hearing of Harikatha is not considered to be a human being. Beginning of a human life means being engaged in hearing about the topics related to Krishna consciousness. So whole Srimad Bhagavatam is devoted to discussions about the transcendental topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, what you have come here for, it is even more important, because there is no entry to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna without appreciating the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are very fortunate to have His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj in Mayapur, such a senior and mature devotee of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, discussing the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Gauradham, in Srila Mayapur. So we would like to thank Maharaj for this is the second year that he has organized this festival here. So we are hoping that this will become a tradition. Maharaj is a leader of Mayapur for many, many years. He has been with Mayapur through thick and thin, as they say. Maharaj, there's many good times in Mayapur and there's many challenges in Mayapur also, but Maharaj is always here with us, guiding and supporting us. We are very, very grateful for that. We are also hoping that Maharaj will spend more and more time in Mayapur, and along with him, all of you will also spend more and more time in Mayapur. So I just wanted to take that opportunity to request Maharaj, please Maharaj, make more of this kind of programs here in Mayapur and spend time with the devotees here, and that will make Mayapur very wonderful and successful. Thank you, Maharaj, and thank you all of you for coming and visiting the Dham. If there is anything we can do to make your stay more successful, please let us know. We are very, very honored and very happy to have all of you here. This is international headquarters of ISKCON. So what it means that this is your temple, we are simply housekeepers. We are your housekeepers, and we are here to serve all of you. So thank you for coming and visiting your home. Please spend as much time as you can in Srila Mayapur. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I actually invited Subhakshana Prabhu, because if you have any complaint, you can lodge it to him. And I am confident that there was no complaint. It's only ecstasy, right? In Mayapur, everything is so wonderful. And as I mentioned, you know, they are actually managing Mayapur. Actually, that's our future. Our youngsters are our future. We have to now let them come in the front and lead. And when we see that they are leading so wonderfully, we feel very confident that this movement is in safe hands. Thank you so much, Vaishnava Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So now I'll request Braja Vilas Prabhu to speak.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasute Deve Gauravani Vicharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashta Deveshataya Ajana Lambito Bujo Kanakavadanto Sankirtane Kapitaro Kamalaya Takshu Vishwambaro Jajabaro Yugadharma Bhavo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Karunavataro Firstly, I would like to take the blessings of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj to speak a few words to inspire all of you to Mayapur. There is a Vaishnava poet. He said, what is the association of a Vaishnava? What is the association of a devotee? He says beautifully, says, Kabira Sangati Saluki Jo Gandhi Ko Vas Jo Kuch Gandhi Dehi Nahi To Bhi Vasa Suvas. Kabira Sangati Saduki. He says the association of a saintly person is like going to a perfume shop. You go to the perfume shop, you don't have any money to buy the perfume. And there is no exchange of product between you and the shopkeeper. But the shopkeeper cannot stop you from taking the smell which is available in that shop. That is the association of a saintly person. We have here Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Whether you are in close contact with him or not, just by seeing him, you will automatically become a devotee. This is by his presence, what he has inherited from Srila Prabhupada, that aroma, that flavor, he is giving to all of us. This is that association. And we are very fortunate to have Maharaj here in Mayapur and to give us that association to all of us, and also to bring all of you from different places, different nationalities, just because on the inspection of Prabhupada, my idea is to attract the people of the whole world to Mayapur. That's why you are here today. That's because of that. Prabhupada used to say there is history of philosophy and there is a philosophy of history. And the history of philosophy is that, I'm not going to go so much into it, but just the gist I'm going to say, that we are here at the maturity of our life at the right time when Mayapur is manifesting on the 28th cycle, the 51st year, the first day of Brahma, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and he wants this temple to manifest, and we are here at the right time. From where? From this place, the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will spread all over the world, and that credit will go to our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. We pray in Guru Puja, may your name and fame spread all the three worlds. From this temple, it's going to happen, and we are here to witness that. We are so fortunate to be here, and we are so fortunate to have His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj as our leader here. And with this, I welcome you all to Mayapur. And you have a very good time here while you are here. We have the TOVP, you can come and visit. It's Adbhut. What is coming is Adbhut. Very Adbhut. This is built by the hands of every devotee of our movement. This is the hard labor of love by the devotees of our movement, who is building this temple, and it is manifesting as a sacrifice of love for our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. So take this opportunity. Opportunity is knocking on your doors. Use this opportunity and benefit this. Become benefited. Become Danya. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. That reminds me, did you visit TOVP as yet? Oh. You know, that should have been one of the main programs. Where is Krishna Kishore? Like, that Anyway, tomorrow you're going to... Okay. How long do you think we'll take a tour of TRPP?
We can finish in 45 minutes.
45 minutes. Like, what if you come to the TRPP tomorrow in the afternoon?
Yes.
Huh? Like, huh? Brajavilas Prabhu?
After lunch they can come.
After lunch?
2:30.
Huh? Are you all prepared to sacrifice your afternoon nap?
Yes.
Okay. Good. So, tomorrow afternoon, so the prasad is at 2 o'clock, I think. 2 or 2 to 3 o'clock. So, 3 o'clock or maybe 4 o'clock. Give them some time to digest. So 4 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah, VP. Now, I have a question. How many of you have already donated for TOVP? Please raise your hands. Very good. Very good. And how many of you want to further donate for TOVP? You see, Prabhupada actually gave that assignment to Ambarish Prabhu. How many of you know who is Ambarish Prabhu? Ambarish Prabhu is the Henry Ford's great-grandson, Alfred Ford. And Prabhupada actually gave him the responsibility to build the temple here. So, for the last few years, Ambarish Prabhu has been solely committed to the TOVP project, to take up, to manifest this temple. And Ambarish Prabhu actually could build the temple himself. But he didn't want to do that. You know why? He felt that such an important spiritual project, and everybody should have some participation in that. And that's why he is creating that opportunity for everyone. Like, he is traveling around the world. And, you know, appealing or giving everyone an opportunity to take part in the construction of TOVP. And Brajavilas Prabhu is assisting him in that very, very wonderful service. Don't you think it's a noble idea? Instead of just one person building the temple, like, everyone gets a chance to take part in that. And Brajavilas Prabhu has so many amazing stories of how people are coming forward in that wonderful service. So that's why, you know, I will request that everybody take part in that and make others also to take part in that. Because by taking part in that, they are going to receive an inconceivable mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. So, whenever Brajavilas Prabhu, and also Jananivas Prabhu also goes there. And you know who else goes with them? Apart from Ambarish Prabhu? Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu goes with them in the form of his paduka, in the form of his shoes. From Mayapur, Nityananda Prabhu goes there. Now, isn't it a wonderful spiritual opportunity to take Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, and the mercy of all the devotees? So, they are going, but I would say that don't wait for them to go to your area. Rather, you go out of your way, you come out of your way and help. I want to help. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't need anybody's help. Krishna doesn't need anybody's help. So when you help in Krishna's project, remember that Krishna is giving you an opportunity to render some service to him. And yesterday I mentioned the benefit of serving Krishna. Do you remember? I mentioned the fruit vendor, Falwali. And what was the reward? Did I tell you yesterday, didn't I? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, I got mixed up. There were so many things happening. Okay, in the morning I gave that anecdote. Anyway, I'm sure you all know. There was a fruit vendor. Actually, in India, those days, even in my childhood I have seen, people would take the commodity and vend it by calling out. They would say, fall chai go, fall chai. That I brought, who wants fruits, please come and take the fruits. And this way, whatever they would go out, the commodities that they would sell, they would announce like that. So a fruit vendor was vending the fruits in this way. So Krishna saw that people actually, those days there was no money changing. There was no money for barter. The barter used to take place with commodities. So somebody came with fruit and you gave that person some rice, and in exchange of rice you get the fruit, and so forth. So Krishna saw that people barter in this way. So he took some rice and called that lady, will you give me some fruits please? And by the time, already Krishna's hands were so small, little bit of rice he took in his hands, half of it spilled over. And the lady, just by seeing Krishna, her heart was filled with affection. So she just filled up Krishna's arms with fruits. And then she picked up her basket and she was leaving. And then she found that the basket is weighing so heavy. So she was wondering, what's the matter? So she lowered the basket, and to her great amazement, she saw that the basket has become filled with most precious gems and jewels. Most precious jewels. So this is the reward for offering to Krishna. Tadaham bhakti uparhitam ashnami. When somebody offers me something with devotion, then I accept that. And when Krishna accepts, this is the reward. And that's not the end of it. You know what happened? When she went back to her village, she couldn't find a house. She saw a huge palace. And she was wondering, did I come to the wrong place? And then she saw her husband dressed up like a king, surrounded by so many people, just coming towards her. She actually became a king, a queen of that place, just because of offering some fruits to Krishna. Another such wonderful incident is Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra went to meet his childhood friend Krishna in Dwarka. And Dwarka is the most opulent place Not only in the material world, the Dwarka is the most opulent place in the spiritual world. So you can well imagine the opulence of Dwarka. And Sudama Vipra, poor Brahmin, he was hesitating. He was saying that, you know, nicely dressed, ornamented kings and monarchs are coming in. And the doorkeeper, the guard, is taking their identity, checking their identity, and selectively letting some people go and rejecting some of them. The kings are being refused to come and see Krishna. And Sudama Vipra was thinking, oh my God, like, what chance do I have to enter there? And the guard noticed Sudama Vipra and he came running to him, offered obeisances, oh, please come in. So Sudama Vipra was somewhat relieved, oh my, at least finally they allowed me to go and meet Krishna. And when he went to Krishna, what did Krishna do? Krishna made him sit on his throne, washed his feet. Rukmini Devi was fanning Krishna. Rukmini Devi was fanning Sudama Vipra. And they were remembering the days, early days in the Guru's ashram. And Sudama Vipra took some chip rice, all he could take, some chip rice that his wife actually got begging from some neighbor. And he tied it up in the end of his cloth and he carried it. Generally, when you carry something for somebody, when you meet him, the first thing you do is you make that offering. But he was feeling so embarrassed, like, all I could bring is little chip rice for Krishna. I mean, who is so wealthy, so opulent? So he was feeling embarrassed for not bringing a suitable gift for Krishna. But Krishna himself asked, Sudama, you must have brought something for me. Sudama hesitatingly unfolded his end of the cloth and said, look, my friend, I could only bring this for you. Oh, chip rice! Krishna exclaimed. For so long I didn't have chip rice. In Guru's ashram we used to have this chip rice. And Krishna took a handful. And when he was about to take the second morsel of chipped rice, Rukmini Devi held his hand. My Lord, please don't take any more. Just this one mouthful of chipped rice that you have taken, I have been sold out to Sudama, dear friend. If you take any more, then probably I have to go out with a begging bowl. And what was the result? Just a handful of chip rice. When Sudama Vipra went home, he also felt the same way. Did I come to a wrong place? Where's my heart? There's a huge palace. So this is how Krishna rewards. Now the question is, are these some fairy tales? No, in the Vedic scriptures, there is no room for falsity. In these scriptures, there is only the truth, and the truth, and nothing but the truth. These are all factual happenings. Many of you told me, like, after coming to Vrindavan, after coming to Mayapur, seeing the places of Krishna's pastimes, seeing the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, you become convinced, yes, it's real. All these places are here. Since time immemorial, bearing the witness of those happenings. So these are all truth and nothing but the truth. So when it comes to serving Krishna, don't be lazy. When it comes to giving to Krishna, don't be a miser. In that respect, you know, one thing you must all remember. Krishna doesn't see how much you gave him. Krishna doesn't see how much you gave him. Krishna sees how much you kept for yourself. And the reward is inconceivable. Krishna actually made a condition, you know. As much as you give of yourself, that much of myself I'll give you. And this condition actually goes to the extent of offering ourselves to Krishna and getting in return Krishna himself. And what do we have for ourselves to begin with? Did you ever consider what we have for ourselves? Our possessions are only of two kinds. One possession is a begging bowl. One possession is a begging bowl. That's about all we have. And you know what's the other possession? Is a stolen booty. Like a thief we have stolen. Does it sound shocking? I know I'll become very unpopular because telling you the truth. Does anything belong to us that we are claiming are to be ours? Nothing. Everything belongs to Krishna. So that's why there are only two conditions. When we take something without Krishna's approval, it is stealing. We become a bunch of thieves if we accept something without Krishna's approval. And the other consideration is, we are begging from Krishna, Krishna, can I please have it? Krishna, can you please give me? So out of these two, which options are you going to take? I know which one you'll take. As a devotee, we all beg from Krishna and feel thankful to Krishna for that. Krishna, I'm so thankful that you have given it to me. You have given so much to me. All the food that I needed since my birth, you provided. All the drink that we needed, you provided. All the oxygen that we needed for breathing, you provided. Without even our asking. You may have said, God, give us our daily bread. We may pray, Krishna varo dayamay kori bare jubhajay shab prasad anna dilo bhai. But did we ever thank Krishna for the water that he has given? I don't think anyone did. At least I did not. Did we ever thank Krishna for the oxygen that we have got? We took it for granted. Can you imagine the value of oxygen? Just clip your mouth and close your ears, close your nose. 1 minute, I'll ask you, how do you feel? This is how valuable oxygen is. We can't survive even beyond a minute or two without it. So this is how Krishna is giving everything to us. So why should we not appreciate that, recognize that, and thank Krishna for that? So let us remain eternally grateful to Krishna for all that He has given us. Like, instead of appreciating what Krishna has already given us, what is our tendency? To tell Krishna what we haven't got. Blame everyone for what we haven't got. But as a devotee, our attitude is, Krishna, I'm so thankful to you. I'm so grateful to you for all that you have given me. So I do not want to go any further, but simply I want to remind you all that when it comes to giving to Krishna, don't hesitate. Don't worry, Krishna will take care. We are storing our wealth in the bank for our future security. Who knows for how long we're going to live? If we die tomorrow, then what's the use of having all the money in the bank? Anyway, you all are very intelligent individuals, and I'm sure you will act with that understanding. Thank you all very much. So today, Krishna Kishore was asking me, which song should we sing today? My first reaction was, I don't know, just you figure it out. But then I got a very bright idea and I called him. And I thought, what about singing an English song for a change? We sang Sanskrit songs, we sang Bengali songs, we sang Hindi songs. What about an English song? What's your response?
Haribol.
Does this Haribol mean yes or no?
Haribol.
So, I have selected one English song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And this song Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in 22 stanzas. It's a poetry. And this poetry actually gives everything. If you just understand this poetry, you will understand everything. Once I was sharing this song, I was explaining this song to a very important person. And he was so impressed that right away he decided to send it to all his friends. Because you are so impressed. Anyway, I selected only 8 verses out of the 22. And it goes like, the title of the song is Sharagrahi Vaishnava. Sharagrahi means one who collects only the essence. You know, a Vaishnava is considered a saintly personality, is compared to a swan. Why? Why a saintly person is compared to a swan? Because a swan has a unique ability to separate milk from a mixture of milk and water. And the swan can take only the milk and leave the water. How many of you knew about this quality? And how many of you knew that a saintly person is compared to a swan? Hamsa, Paramahamsa. Hamsa means a swan. A transcendental swan-like personality. Is a Vaishnava. So that's why he's saying, a Shara-grahi, the one who accepts the essence, Shara. One who, in the mixture of matter and spirit, he accepts the spirit and rejects the matter. So the eight stanzas that I have selected, there, I'll just read in English, and I'm sure you'll understand. Alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy. The dazzling, deadly liquid forms their hearts forever employ. Alas, was the meaning of the word alas. Many of you are from England and Australia. Huh? What is the meaning of the word alas? Okay.
Surprised?
Huh?
Surprised?
No. Alas means I feel pity. Alas. Alas. It's an exclamation. Alas. Alas, it happened to him. So, alas for those. I feel pity for those who spend their days. How do they spend their days? In festive mirth and joy. In festive mirth and joy of this material world. Those who are trying to spend their time trying to enjoy in this material world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, alas for those. The dazzling, deadly liquid forms their hearts forever employ. What is that material glamour? The dazzling, deadly, this form, the material forms that are attracting us, they're, yeah, apparently very attractive, dazzling, but is deadly. That attraction is actually taking us, inviting us, leading us towards death. Deadly, liquid forms. And it's, those forms are liquid. Does liquid have a form? It appears to have a form. Like a fountain. It looks like there's a form. But for how long? For a moment, it's gone. Liquid forms, their hearts forever employ. Their hearts are attracted to. The shining bottles charm their eyes. Here he is comparing those people to a drunkard. The shining bottles. Bottles of liquor. Johnny Walker. The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. They're so addicted to it. They would give anything to have this bottle. Shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine. Ultimately, he is revealing their identity, who they are. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. It's disgraceful to be a drunkard. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. Then you're leaving a few stanzas. Then I'm coming to another very important point. The flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame a chain. The soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. Isn't it beautiful? You see, this is the brilliance of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Actually, you know, I used to be very fond of poetry. But to tell you frankly, you know, I haven't come across poetry like Bhakti Vinod Thakur's. They are brilliant poets. They express their emotion in beautiful presentation of rhyme and meter. But incidentally, most of the English poets actually do not follow so strictly the rhyme and meter. It's kind of free-flowing most of the cases. It's simply expression of emotion. My heart aches and a drowsy numbness pains my senses as though hemlock I had drunk. So, no rhyme and meter as such. But yeah, emotion is there. This is actually Keats. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur, see the meter. The flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame a chain. The soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. Like one very famous, in English poetry, Coleridge is very famous for his rhyme and meter. And similar kind of rhyme and meter, like the day was bare, the harbor clear, merrily did we drop, below the hill, below the kirk, below the lighthouse stop. The rhyme of the ancient mariner. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur maintained that meter and rhyme throughout. And isn't it such a beautiful presentation? The flesh, our body, the flesh is not our own. We are saying, this is my body. But the flesh in this body is not mine. The flesh and bone and fat and marrow and skin. The flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame, a chain. This mortal, this perishable, prone to death, this frame is actually a chain, is a bondage with which we have been tied down to this material nature. The flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame a chain. The soul confined for former wrongs. Why the soul has been confined into this body? For former wrongs. For past misdeeds. The soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. Isn't it beautiful? Go to the next, listen to the next one. Then a voice, how deep and soft, within ourselves is felt. Man, man, thou art an immortal soul. The death can never melt. Then a voice, how deep and soft, within ourselves is felt. We heard a voice from within. Man, man, thou art an immortal soul. You are an immortal soul. Death can never melt. Death cannot melt you. The body may die, but soul never dies. The death can never melt. Forget the past that slips and never future dream at all. Forget the past. We are all dwelling in our past. Oh, how nice it was when I was 25 years old. How nice it was when such and such thing happened to me. Forget the past. That slips, it'll never come back to you. It sleeps. Forget the past that sleeps and never future dream at all, and don't dream about the future. But act in times that are with thee. But act in time that is the time that is with you. What is that? The present. Utilize your present in the most fruitful way. But act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. And that is real progress. Maintain thy post in spirit world. Mind you, I have selected only few, so many of the stanzas in between I have left out and selected just the important ones. Maintain thy post in spirit world as firmly as you can. Let never matter push thee down. Let never matter push thee down, O stand heroic man. In your spiritual strife, do not let matter, do not let this material happenings discourage you, demoralize you, demotivate you. Just stand, heroic man, on your spiritual path. O Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. So, O Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul, who is that Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul? The devotee of the Lord. Thou art an angel fair. You are the fair angel who is protecting me, who is guiding me. Thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. There rests my soul from matter free. There rests my soul from matter free upon my lover's arms. Now the soul free from the bondage of matter, free from the bondage of matter is lying in the embrace of a lover. So who is that lover? Krishna. There rests my soul from matter free upon my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. So there in the embrace of my lover, what do we get? Eternal peace and spirit's love. And that is the chant, that is all my chanting charms.